When I'm lounging around the Terror Dome, I like to sit back and relax with a big, tall jug of orange juice and listen to Tiger Claw Radio.
Take it easy and solve the school lunch problem with Spam. S-P-A-M.
こんにちは、タイガークローラジオ。You are listening now, Pak J.
You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Number one in vintage computer and video game entertainment. And now your host, Critical Failure.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. I am your host, Critical Failure. You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio. It is that time once again, and we are gathered here today to witness episode 41. Let me explain some changes going on right now. I'm starting school. So, recently, Monday has been the release date. The release date for the new episodes is going to be either Monday or Tuesday. I might not be able to make Monday deadline anymore. So, like today, they'll just come out the following day, so don't worry. Big news! Duke Nukem Forever is picked up by Gearbox, and it's actually going to come out after 15 years in development hell. Also, the internet rumor mill, I haven't confirmed this yet, although a simple Google search would. PSP Go in a phone? Who knows? This is going to be an interesting show, because I don't have nearly enough material to actually fill an hour. So, that could be a good thing, because instead we'll have a lot of goofing around and a lot of fun stuff. Let's see. Thank you very much for joining us, and we're going to kick things off with some Bob Dylan. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio.
Go away from my window. Leave at your own chosen speed. I'm not the one you want, babe. I'm not the one you need. You say you're looking for someone who's never weak but always strong, to protect you and defend you, whether you are right or wrong. Someone to open each and every door, but it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe. Go lightly from the ledge, babe. Go lightly on the ground. I'm not the one you want, babe. I will only let you down. You say you're looking for someone who'll promise never to part. Someone to close his eyes for you. Someone to close his heart. Someone who will die for you and more. But it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe. Go melt back in the night. Everything inside is made of stone. There's nothing in here moving. And anyway, I'm not alone. You say you're looking for someone who'll pick you up each time you fall, to gather flowers constantly, and to come each time you call. for your life and nothing more. But it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe.
Aren't you tired of seeing movies that suck?
Sure, yeah.
Need somebody to tell you what movie to see and not to see?
Sure, yeah.
Isn't The Real Review not the greatest movie review show on internet radio today?
Sure, yeah.
Are Mike and Mike not the sexiest men in Cleveland?
Nigga, please.
Tune into The Real Review every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, right before The Escape, right here on My Gnet Radio.
Yes, friends, once again, if you are listening to this on an MP3, I want to remind you that Tiger Claw Radio is broadcasted by mygnetradio.com. You can check us out on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. We are right after the Neo Arcadia cast. You get your anime fix there, and right before Sunday Night Kaiser, get your... I don't know what kind of fix you get with Sunday Night Kaiser. tell you, man, give that guy a microphone, and you never know what's going to come out. It's always a blast. The live chaos of Sunday Night Kaiser, which we enjoy so much here on Tiger Claw Radio. All right, let's see, as I scramble together to get this show online. Let me get my... There we go. Here's my bulleted list of the news. The news. Duke Nukem Forever, alive and well. Will Duke Nukem live up? Let's talk about some Duke 3D memories and possibly some Duke 2D memories. Let's see, I got a big article here from GamePro, but I don't feel like looking it up. So I'm going to give you the gist. Basically what they said was, there is a playable demo. It was unveiled at an expo, and the guy who wrote the article actually did get to play a couple of short levels, and he said, in classic Duke Nukem fashion, it's very unapologetic about its adult content. Which, you know, if you played Duke 3D back in the day, that game had strippers in it, and it was in the 90s, pixelated little tassels and things like that. So definitely not a game for the kids. Now the question now is, since it's been so long, does anybody care anymore? I've heard from more than one person that it's just not an issue anymore, and it would have been a really big deal 10 years ago. Let's see. It's going to come out, I believe, for the PS3, Xbox 360, and PC. Which means I'm probably not going to have the hardware to play it, so it doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot to me. But the game is 15 years in development, and I remember seeing screenshots about it when I was in, junior high school? And now I have a wife and kid? And the screenshots back then just looked amazing. So I guess it's kind of nice to see it finally come out. It is kind of nice to see an unfinished chapter getting closed. But it's like, who's going to care now? It was announced pre-Halo, you know, so it could have taken the world by storm. But I don't know what they're going to come up with these, like, now to make it cutting edge. One thing that was interesting was Duke 3D, the audio clips were full of quotes taken from the Evil Dead trilogy. A lot of the things Duke Nukem said were, you know, Ash quotes from the Evil Dead trilogy, and I don't feel like looking at the article, sorry, I know, and I think that's changed now. They had to adapt the character, which makes sense, you know, for a younger audience. And that's another thing, the younger gamers, are they even going to know who Duke Nukem is? So, I assume they're going to build a game that can stand on its own. They must. So what happened? Why did it take so long? Well, the story that I've heard is whoever was in charge of the Duke Nukem Forever project was basically doing what Howard Hughes did for his movie. I can't even remember the name of the movie now. He kept... The game was in production. Some new piece of technology would come out, and he would scrap the game so he could have the new technology incorporated in the game. Apparently he kept doing this over and over again, and eventually it was canceled in like 2008 or 2009 or something. So I don't know. I am definitely not a going to be purchasing this game when it's new, when they need the financial support, because it's not on any system that I have, and I have a kid now, so like, not that I mind having shooting games around my family, but you know, I'm expecting a caliber of content from Duke Nukem, which is a couple steps above Grand Theft Auto. So you know, so we'll wait. I'll probably end up getting it way later on down the line. Maybe I'll get it used one day if they don't black out the used market like the Mass Effect games have. So that's Duke Nukem Forever. It's been all the latest buzz. It was actually a trending topic on Twitter for a while, which is kind of amazing because I'm surprised people care that much now. I mean, I know it sounds cold, but, you know, what is, what is. Moving right along, I want to take it slow through my bullet list because I only have two more items here. I was listening to another podcast, okay? This is a podcast called the Joypad Podcast. You may be familiar with Kevin Sky. He runs a show called Retroactive, which you can catch over at RetroWareTV.com. Pretty good show. One thing I'll say about old Kevin is he puts out an episode like every week. It's insane. The rate he puts out new videos is just absolute madness. It's kind of frustrating trying to keep up with him. But anyway, for the first time I caught his podcast, the Joypad Podcast, and they mentioned something from the internet rumor mill, which I'm actually going to try and confirm here live on the air, which I'm hoping Google doesn't slow down Audacity. This might actually be a bad idea. You know what? I have two computers. I'm just going to fire up my laptop. Well, first, let me say what's going on, what I heard. He talked about the possibility of a phone, a new model of the PSP Go, which is a phone. So you'll have a PSP which you can dial out from, and that the media, the games, are going to be strictly download only. You're not going to be able to purchase physical games for this. So, like I said, I'm firing up my secondary computer right now. I'm going to get on Google and see if I can confirm that. But let's talk about the idea for a second, whether it's actually a reality or not. The obvious train of logic here is, does anybody remember the N-Gage? It seems like they're trying to do the N-Gage again. For those of you who don't know, I don't know how you would know this, but the N-Gage was the phone video game system that I believe had two models. I think it was Nokia that put it out. And it bombed. Nobody bought it because, I don't know, the games weren't good. And I remember when the N-Gage came out. Well, the idea of a video game system that was a phone was kind of far-fetched. But the big problem for me, because I wanted the N-Gage, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'll fess up to the reality. I wanted one of those things. But this was like, what, 2002, 2003? Having a cell phone during that time, you had to have a contract that was 2 years, and that was it. So the phone I had, I even had the money to buy an N-Gage, and I couldn't because I was locked into a contract, and I wasn't sure how to get out of it. So I have a feeling that I was not the only person who was like that, and that probably didn't help the lifespan of the N-Gage. PSP Go phone. There it is. Okay. All right. Sony planning PSP Go phone running Android 3.0. This is a reality, ladies and gentlemen. It's funny, you know, most people do research before they get on the air and do their podcast. I'm actually doing my research on the air, which is a twist. Really horrible twist. Okay, so who wants a PSP Go phone? Anyone? This is a rumor we've heard many times before, with Sony Ericsson regularly associating its phones with other Sony products. The Walkman line for music phones, the CyberShot line for camera phones. It seems like only a matter of time before we see a gaming phone linked to the PSP. New information suggests we could see a PSP Go-like phone with Android 3.0 to boot. Citing trusted sources, Engadget reports that Sony is quote-unquote, actively and heavily developing a brand new gaming platform, ecosystem, and device, possibly alongside Google, and they're already in the late stages of planning. They've been told that this phone is aimed at gaming fans and looks like a cross between a Samsung Captivate and a PSP Go, If you're looking for a slider phone, which houses both a touchscreen between 3.7 and 4.1 inches and a slide-out panel with game controls instead of analog controls, this device will have a long, narrow touchpad. The device will pack a 1 GHz Snapdragon CPU and a 5 megapixel camera. Though it is currently branded as an Xperia device, Engadget sources say it will likely carry the PlayStation brand too. And it goes on and on about other abilities of the device. And there is an image here, although I don't know if it is like they're saying it's a rumor. I don't know how they could have a an image here. It says PSP mock-up Engadget. So I guess it's a speculative image. And what we see is basically, it looks very much like an iPhone, but there's a back layer which slides out, and you have PlayStation controls. And you turn it sideways and stick it straight up your candy ass. Okay, sorry. Now, I don't know. I'm not too excited about it, I have to say. And it may just be that I'm not a PSP fan. Though, admittedly, that's just because I don't have one. I don't hold out high hopes for it. I think, regardless of how the system is, it may be a great system. But on classic podcast, classic gaming-related podcasts and indie-related podcasts, one of the things we talk about is the death of the physical media in video games, the cartridges, the CDs, the copies that we own. And I think we can all agree it's something we don't want to see go. And this phone is the pioneer into that era where there is no cartridges and discs and games and no collections and shelves. And this is the step into the era where your shelf is simply a list of games. That's something I don't want to see happen. I'm sure that's something you don't want to see happen. And the way we can keep that from happening is don't buy the PSP phone. Wait for the 3DS. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to, if you're a Sony fan, Sony puts out some great games. I believe all the Metal Gear games are coming out on the Sony systems. You know, I understand why you'd want to stick with that company, but I urge you to consider jumping to another company. Try jumping to Nintendo with a 3DS. Just stick with your old PSP model and collect all the PSP games that are out right now. But I urge you to not get on board with this project when it comes out, because it is going to take away our physical media. And that's going to happen eventually. There's nothing we can do to stop that, because companies don't want to pay production costs. But this is going to be, this is that first step, ladies and gentlemen. This is the horseman which is leading the army to that frontier. And it is branded an enemy to game collectors such as myself, whether you're casual or hardcore, or whether you've spent $300 on a game or not. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the killer of that. This is the end of being able to buy a $50 game for $20 used, you know, a couple months after its release. This is the end of that, ladies and gentlemen. This is the end of bargain gaming. This is the end of making your dollar stretch the way you want it to and not the way the company wants it to. And this is the dawn of the company having more control than you can possibly imagine over the games which you have already bought. Because if you do something they don't like, or if you try and hack the system or something, just like Wii's, just like Xbox 360's, who knows what they'll do. Maybe they'll block you from online play, maybe they'll bullet your system and, you know, take it down. More control over your items that you have purchased. They'll have the company, Sony's going to have more control than you can possibly imagine. Okay, so I urge you to not support the new PSP Go phone. PSP Go, from what I understand, didn't sell very well anyway, so I'm not very worried about it. But I want to drive home the point that this thing it blows. So that's it. Now, as far as the PSP is concerned, I've never been a PSP fan, but it's only because I haven't bought one. Mm. They're expensive toys, very expensive toys. But I can't knock it, because there are a lot of PSP games I would like to try. Specifically, a favorite that gets talked about a lot is Lunar, the Lunar series. If you've never played Lunar, there's a lot of places. There's like three different ports I think you can try. I've never played this game. I would love to, because I like old RPGs. I don't have the attention span to finish them, but I'd like to sample them. Now, I own a PS1. There was a PS1 port. I could go that route. I really want to obtain a Sega CD, so I could go for the Sega CD port. That's another route I could go. But like I said, I'm not very good at RPGs, and I hear the PSP version is the has the lowest difficulty setting. Well, a lot of the Lunar fans, hardcore Lunar fans, that was their complaint, was that they were able to just breeze through the PSP version. Me, in my situation, that might actually be a good thing. So that is one thing that has actually made me consider getting one of those systems. So, like I said, can't knock the system, can't knock what it's done so far, but ladies and gentlemen, it is time to jump ship. So moving on, I wanted to talk about, I'm going to jump topics pretty sharply. Oh yeah, before I stop talking about the game phone, I wanted to bring up Jimmy Fallon. When he used to be on Weekend Update, when the N-Gage first came out, he had a gag where he was like, you know what, I've already got a video game phone. And he held up a giant PS2. It was the original model, not the slim model, with a phone duct taped to it. And he held it to his face and said, hello, yes, I'm an idiot, thank you. And that sums up what I think of this project. Okay, so moving right along. Talk about some Neo Geo. Been in a Neo Geo lately, which I've never, ever been in a Neo Geo. I've always had this this theory that the Neo Geo is such an expensive hobby to be into that I would just stay away from it. I mean, there's a lot of good games out there that you can get for not a lot of money. I mean, the good games, well, not necessarily the good games, but the costly games for a Neo Geo, not even talking about the system, are what, $500, $300, something like that? I've only been into this system for like a week, so I know next to nothing about it. So let me explain how this came about. This is something that I'm really excited about, that I'm very happy to share with you. In college right now, this summer I'm going to start an internship, which I'm going to get paid for. So more money, more problems. And I'm going to be getting a house with my wife and kid in about a year, 2 years, something like that. Not too far away. We're going to have our very own house, and my wife has said quite often that when we get a house, the basement, whatever it is, for the majority, it can be your game room. And she has given me the green light to get arcade cabinets. Now, the only reason why I can't get an arcade cabinet now is not because of the money, because I can save money and buy one. It's because of the space. There's no place to put one where we live right now. And for a while, I thought this meant, okay, one arcade cabinet. You can only have one arcade cabinet. What is it going to be? And I asked this question a lot. I did the rounds. This was on the Retro League forums way back when their forums first launched. And I asked GNDB this, I think. I'm pretty sure I asked them this. You know, if you could only have one arcade game, what could it be? Well, I was asking that because, as far as I knew, I was in that situation. And what I came up with was MVS Cab. Makes sense. You can only have one cab. Might as well hold four games, right? And I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, that's the one cab I want. And she says, you know, you aren't just restricted to one game. You can have as many as can fit down there. So I took that ball and ran with it. And I've just been researching all kinds of game cabinets. It's been a lot of fun. So I want to get an MVS cab. And my wife really wants to get... And so do I. She wants to get a tabletop, I guess they call it a cocktail cabinet, of Ms. Pac-Man. This is a coin-operated arcade game shaped like a table. If you ever watch Gamester 81, Gamester 81, he has one and he sits at it and talks. So that's one of those. And they have them quite a lot on eBay, pretty regularly. They cost about $1,400, refurbished. I mean, I've done minimal research. I don't know if you can get one cheaper than that, but that's in Pennsylvania, and I'm in Maryland, so it's like a couple hours away. I can road trip up there and get it instead of having to pay freight shipping. So that helps. So yeah, I'm sliding off topic here. This is the Tiger Claw Ramble Cast. Anyway, Neo Geo. Wanted to talk about some Neo Geo. So got into Neo Geo for the first time. Started researching it. It began with a few simple eBay searches. What is it? How much does it cost? I know Neo Geos are expensive. I still really don't know how much they cost. So I wanted to start by looking at the games, because whatever the system costs, I know they're expensive, $300, $400, something like that, whatever they are. If you get the home one, the AES, how much do the games cost? Because if the games are exorbitant, there's no point in buying a system. I figured I could handle, I could put up with one heavy hit. I looked at some of the games, and I was surprised. I mean, you know, as long as you don't dip into the rare titles, there was MVS cards anyway. I don't know about the home ones, but MVS cards, I was seeing them for like $15 to $30, which, hell, if I could do that. Drop down a couple grand for a stand-up cab, and then pick up a few, like, of the lesser, the ones that aren't really rare, like Super Dodgeball and a couple of the King of Fighters games, you know, fill up those four slots, and then I could save for something, you know, really expensive. So I've been enjoying that. One of the things that also got me into it was I know that Jerry Terrifying is a proud owner of an AES system, the home one, and he has corrected me on my abbreviations. I was getting the AES and the MVS confused. So I've been enjoying researching that thing, man, figuring out why people like it so much, and come to find out, there's a movie theater nearby. I had seen this before, but this is the first time I've actually played this. Yesterday, Energy Baratsu from the forums and I, we went down to this movie theater, and they have an MVS cab they set up. And I had seen it before, and in the kiosk they have Metal Slug. I believe it was Metal Slug 3. I don't know. One of the Metal Slug games. I don't remember which one. I was like, yes, come on, man, we're going to go play some Metal Slug. So he got some quarters, and I got some quarters, and we went down there. And come to find out, upon closer inspection, the kiosk was just a page from the instruction manual stuck behind the glass. And they didn't actually have the game. What they had was Puzzle Bobble, Puzzle Depon, Sonic Heroes, and Strikers, I believe. So he played some Puzzle Depon, and I think what I enjoyed the most was playing Sonic Heroes 3, which, from what I understand, is not a very expensive game, but I enjoyed it very, very much. So that's my Neo Geo experience. If those of you listening now, Retro Kaiser, I know you're into the Neo Geo somewhat, so those of you guys who have any, you know, knowledge of the system, what's good or how to go about getting stuff, or what you would recommend to an early collector, aside from, you know, getting into something cheaper, let me hear it, man. Write in. I don't have anything for the failed bag this week, so I need some letters. Write into cf@tigerclawtv.com. Now you can write in some text, or you can, if you really feel up to it, you can record some audio and send it in, and I'll play it. And I know that's a pain, but it's always fun. I get a big kick out of it. So you're welcome to participate in the show that way. So let's move right along. That's it. That's what I got. That's Duke Nukem Forever, PSP phone, and the Neo Geo. I have an interest in Neo Geo, and that's pretty much it. So that's pretty much it. I have some more ramblings that will be fun to talk about, but let's go ahead and take another break before I do that. Get some more music in here. This is blues legend John Lee Hooker, and I love this guy. John Lee Hooker is one of the best. So right here on Tiger Claw Radio.
The way you walk, I'm crazy about your walk. I love the way you walk. You my baby, I got my eyes on you. I like the way you sweat. 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 You my babe, I got my eyes on you. You got dimples in your jaw.
got devils in your jaw. You got devils in your jaw. You, my baby, got my eyes on you. I got my eyes on you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do an expanded fail bag this go around, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I was a little worried that we didn't have enough material for the show, but I think we've really come through, and this is going to be awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, my question for you, what time is it?
It's time for the fail bag.
Yes, friends, it's time for that fantabulous staple of Tiger Claw Entertainment we call the Fail Bag. Yes, this is the Fail Bag. This is the letter section of Tiger Claw Radio. However, since we do not have any letters, what we'd like to do is read forum posts primarily from GameFAQs.com as if they were letters written into the show. These are not actual letters. I think Kate can explain it a little better. Take it away, Kate.
This is the part of the show where we read letters from message forums as if they were letters to the show. These dummies don't listen, so don't feel bad when I rip into them. Thanks for listening. Oh, it's time for my sausage.
So let's get started. If you would like to actually write into the show, cf at tigerclawtv.com. That's the email address. So let's get started. Neil P. writes, should I sell these games? I'm looking to unload some old Game Boy games and Game Boy Color games. Should I sell these? And he gives this small list. Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle, Navy SEALs, Monster Rancher Battle Card, Quest for Camelot, Off-Road, and Killer Instinct, True Balls, and Turok 3. Never played any of the games. Are any of them worth keeping, or should I sell them? I'm kind of interested in Monster Rancher Card Battle, personally. If you're not playing them, and you're not a collector, then sell them. That's what I say. You know, I don't sell any of my games, but that's just me. So, I'm actually going to see if he wants to sell me Monster Rancher. Okay, there's my response. Yeah, so, I wouldn't sell them, but that's just me. I'm kind of a pack rat when it comes to games. I don't think you're going to... Well, here's the thing. My instincts tell me you're not going to get much for them, but every time I try and buy a huge lot of games like that, I always get outbid, and they always end up going for about $30. So maybe you'll get something. I don't know. You know, if you don't want them, sell them. Moving right along. Any classic metal music in video games? Video game music is often incorporates whatever is popular at the time. Sonic is a lot of upbeat late 80s pop music. There's a stream of terrible techno starting in the mid 90s, etc. Back in the late 70s through the 80s, were there any classic metal-inspired music in video games? I mean, like Maiden or Priest, or the hard rocker stuff like the Scorpions. I assume not on the home consoles since their sound capabilities weren't so hot, but maybe in some obscure arcade game. If not, was there at least some glam metal material through the mid-80s and early 90s? I know most of those games well, and nothing comes to mind right away. Let's see, that's a weird question. No, there's not going to be any heavy metal and music in games in the 70s, of course. What about Double Dragon? I remember Double Dragon having kind of a heavy metal soundtrack. What about Revolution X, starring Aerosmith, right? It was an awful game, but it had Aerosmith, right? Let's see. Doom, you know, early 90s. It doesn't get more heavy metal than Doom. So, you know. There is some heavy metal in some games out there. Was there any heavy metal in music in games in the, from the 70s? That's a weird question. Games barely had sound in the 70s. Okay, did anybody have... This is The Curse X2 writes in. Did anybody have any dumb fears of a game as a kid? I remember for whatever dumb reason I was terrified of Double Dragon 2 at the first stage, climbing the ladder to the rooftops for fear of falling off the building. I wouldn't even go to the first boss unless someone else played it with me, since the music sounded scary to me. Also, in Contra / Super C, I avoid getting into the water for whatever, whenever possible, due to my inability to swim and hate of being underwater. This is a very interesting question, because I think kids who are playing these games, I know I did, have some weird things like that. For me, my fear was Shadowgate. Remember that game? In Shadowgate, for the NES, you had these torches that had to stay lit all the time, because you were inside the cavern, and if your torch went out, then you couldn't see and therefore died. And in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, you had a little indicator that showed a torch, and if it started to burn low, you could see that it was about to go out. Now, when it was about to go out, they played this music, and it creeped me out to no end. So, didn't like to play Shadowgate for that reason. It had this weird kind of... I mean, Shadowgate was supposed to be a scary game. It's a point-and-click adventure, so it wasn't really scary. But to a little kid back in those days, I wouldn't play it in the dark. So that's me. What about you guys? You listening out there? CF at TigerClawTV.com. Any old fears as a kid? Any game that freaked you out when you were young and impressionable? Go ahead and write in. I would love to hear more stories like that. Okay, so the Cranky Hermit writes in, damn it, why can't this Sonic game exist? Okay, he puts a YouTube link, forget that, I'm not going to your stupid YouTube link. Metroid M seems to be angering classic Metroid gamers. Yeah, I was looking at the topics on the MOM board, and it seems there's a lot of disappointment for a variety of reasons. Lack of exploration, linear, poor English voice acting, Samus has her character ruined, and more. Damn. It's truly unfortunate. I was looking forward to this game. Really? I've heard that... I did hear the voice acting is bad. They went with the voice actor for Samus for they said the Samus character is supposed to sound awkward for some reason. So they did that on purpose. It doesn't make sense to me, but that's what they did. But I hear the combat in the game is supposed to be really good. The targeting system is supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be a fun game. So how about cutting it some slack? You know, when you sit down and play this game, you're not playing Metroid Prime, and you're not playing Metroid Fusion or any of those other games. You're playing Other M. It's going to be a different game. Do you really want it to be the same game as far as the game being linear or something like that? Samus' character being ruined, who knows? That's up to you guys, ladies and gentlemen. But I say that the Other M has been taking a little bit too much heat lately, and I think the reason is because it's taken so long to come out. You get a game like Other M, they give us a trailer, and then we have to wait a year and a half. And after a year and a half of chewing on this trailer, I think people speculate too much, and weird conclusions are drawn. And I think that's what's happening. So I think the game just needs to come out, and I think it will speak for itself. But don't be, like I said, don't be too hard on it. It's its own game. Don't expect it to be some other game. Let's see. Now this one is going to get me ranting a little bit. I'm not going to try and pronounce that name. Somebody writes in, buying used games is piracy. Yeah, I don't get it. I understand why publishers are complaining about used games, greed. But gamers? That's weirding me out. But now you have big boys, Penny Arcade, commenting on the issue and agreeing with publishers. Here's a snippet from the August 25th news post. Hold on a second. Okay. The August 25th news post. And it reads, I honestly can't figure out how buying used games is any better than piracy. From the perspective of a developer, they're almost certainly synonymous. Yeah, I'm confused. What's wrong with... It's wrong to buy used games, but furniture, computers, cars, movies, books, clothes, etc. are perfectly legal. Why are gamers so uptight about used games when the entire world economy, since the beginning of civilization, has utilized the used market? And it gives the link to the Penny Arcade. Let me tell you my thoughts on that. Stop fucking sympathizing with the goddamn developers. They're not gamers, okay? They're fucking stuffed shirt bastards that sit in an office and, you know, use their fucking formulas to come up with shit that they're gonna sell. It's not like these guys have passions for games anymore. It's not like they give a shit what we're going to enjoy. Stop sympathizing with the companies. That's what I have to say about people who sympathize with people who think buying used games is piracy. It's not, okay? It's not piracy. You are paying money for something which has been purchased legally. Now, if you like to put on an eye patch and wear a hook on your hand when you purchase used games, then you're a pirate. All right? There's a difference. But I don't know. I think people will buy a video game, and the video game will say Sony on it, or Nintendo. They'll enjoy the game, so they'll say Sony or Nintendo is awesome, which is understandable. And then Sony or Nintendo says, buying used games are wrong. And then you say, well, Sony or Nintendo made this game that I really enjoy, so I'm going to think whatever the hell they think. And it's ridiculous. That's the thing about the business end of gaming, is there are some of the most retarded decisions, and the thought behind the business end is so, like, ridiculous. It's like whoever gave the go-ahead to make the Atari Lynx is still up there running things somewhere. So, I don't know. That's just me. I think it's ridiculous to worry about, think used games as piracy. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. It's not piracy, it's just buying used games. Now, if you want to get mad at somebody and you're a games developer, get mad at the GameStop for pushing used copies over the sale copies. If all the game companies got together and stopped letting GameStop carry their content and sold exclusively to other places, GameStop would go out of business. I mean, there's a business strategy right there. If Konami and Nintendo and Sony and all the third-party developers all got together in one huge meeting, and we're like, we're blacklisting GameStop because they keep selling our stuff used, and they're pushing it over the new copy as opposed to just letting people buy what they want to buy. GameStop would go out of business. They could force them out. And the truth, we don't want that to happen because that's going to... It's not like we would go back to the way it used to be where we could buy games from a reputable dealer. Downloadable media would take their place, so we don't really want that to happen. I just checked my email, ladies and gentlemen, the Let 'Em Dare, which I talked about in a previous episode of Tiger Claw Radio, and I also talked about it on the Mondo Coolcast. The Let 'Em Dare results are in. You can check out the top 20 entries, the top 20 games. Give them a try over at www.letemdare.com. Click on competition, and it'll tell you everything about what's going down, and you can check that out, and that's pretty cool, man. So that's some free games. Let's see how far we are, like 43 minutes in. I'm starting to run out of material, so let's go ahead and roll another tune. And when we come back, I think I'll talk about the WonderSwan a little bit, because I finally bought one and it showed up, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ricky Lee Jones on Tiger Claw Radio.
Yes, it does.
Have you had-
the rubber stamp.
Have you had enough?
The wire taps.
If you pass it, no, then it's time to throw the rascals out.
You know we've let them take the test too long. They got all the answers wrong. No plan, no shame, no oversight.
Now's the time to put it right. Put it have right. You had enough?
'Cause they're all corrupt.
Have you had enough?
Or be a dividend.
If you've had enough, then it's time to throw the rascals out.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening, you know that I've been intrigued by the Wonder Swan for quite a while. Well, I finally got one. I got the monochrome version, but I don't know how many games, and I have to say it's a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. And the reason why I'm bringing this up now, even though I don't have any games, is I can say that the dealer, Game Agora. eBay. It's the same dealer who deals most of the Wonder Swan sales are from him. Came in like 2 weeks. I was shocked. Came so quick. And I'm ordering 3 games tomorrow, which I'm really excited about. This puzzle game called Gunpei, and what were the other two? Wonder Stadium, baseball game, and the third one was, I can't remember what the third one was. The Pachinko Simulator. Fever. I'll have to let you know how that pans out. I gotta say, I'm really happy about it. It's the first time I've ever had anything imported from Japan. But I don't think I'm gonna go into it anymore because I'm exhausted, and I don't think I'm making good radio anymore for this episode. So hopefully for the next one, I'll be a little bit more prepared. Watch MondoCoolCast.com for an article I'm writing about portable games. That should be up. Few days, something like that. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening to this on an MP3, I invite you to join us on my www.mygnetradio.com. If you are tuning in live, stay tuned for Sunday Night Kaiser. Tiger Claw Radio is brought to you by Scenic 7PR and mygnetradio.com. This is Critical Failure, signing off.
Painting on my toes, putting on some clothes. It's like, oh, like those are actual lyrics.